listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name's Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself, Patricia Eltinge, and Andy Shaw available tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the callback and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Want Institute. The Want Institute offers instruction on the principles of communicating with personal integrity to help individuals to achieve goals, as well as enrich their personal and professional relationships, and to create win-win situations in every one of their day-to-day activities. The Institute was founded to promote and teach these skills, and the goal of helping people to live authentic, successful lives using the technique of want training is developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want more information regarding any of the Want Institute services, you can reach me at the office at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com, or you can call the office and leave a message, 949-723-0338. Tonight we have Patricia Eltinge and Andy Shaw to help answer questions, and we'll be doing some talking on different topics. Andy and Patricia, are you available?
Yes.
Sure am.
Good. I hope we get some callers tonight. Last week we had a lot of callers. Tonight's happy Halloween, everybody. You may be out trick-or-treating. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. Before we take callers, I want to bring up a subject about there's a book that the TA, I'm Okay, You're Okay, which a lot of people, we go over that. It's transactional analysis. Patricia's got the book available. Patricia, do you want to go a little bit into what I'm Okay, You're Okay means?
Well, yeah, that's the lay book for the lay audience was called, yes, I'm Okay, You're Okay by Eric Byrne. And it stemmed from his original psychotherapy book for professionals that was transactional analysis and psychotherapy, but he made it for the lay audience, which other people out there might want to look at to understand the principles that he laid out in a simple form about people saying what they mean and meaning what they say, and that everybody has a right as an individual to have their own opinion, whether or not it differs for the other person's. And then that's where negotiation starts, and that the other person has their opinion and nobody is wrong. You just decide if that person if you're going to negotiate anything between you. And that's called adult communication.
Yeah. One of the things that I have my monthly ladies groups, and a lot of them, an example would be, he doesn't have a right to call me names. And I try to tell them, yes, he does. You don't have to like or approve of it, but he has a right to be who he is. And women just get so mad about that. But that's the I'm okay, you're okay. They label it as I'm okay, you're not okay. And there's different stages. So that's a hard one for people to get. You have to look at everybody as I'm okay, you're okay. Even though I don't like or approve what you say or do, you're still okay. We can't be moral judge compass on what they do.
But if you, yes, that's accurate. That's well said, Sue.
And Dr. Allen says it, and I fought her tooth, yes, and nail to done this.
But however, if you don't like to be called names, you can lay the groundwork for your personal boundaries.
Yes.
And then you can say, if you have a right to do that as a human being, say whatever you want. Yes. However, if you continue calling me names, I might not be here for you in the future.
There's got to be a price tag. These are the tools that we teach how to communicate rationally, not emotionally. So that's a good book to read for a lot of people, along with Dr. Allen's book, Getting to I Do. Those are all great books to read. Offhand, what are some other books that you know of that are beginner steps to Dr. Allen's work or rational communication? Andy, do you know any? Or Patricia, do you have any books offhand?
Andy?
Sorry, muted.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay. you have something you wanted to add to that, Andy?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I always direct people to the wantinstitute.net website and, you know, click on books and then read through the books that are there.
Yeah, there are a list of book, recommended book lists. It's also on drpatallen.com. There's a book list.
Ones in this, for you're asking for a specific, any specific ones in this topic. And,
well, I thought just this topic, what is another good beginner type book for Dr. Allen's work to start him baby steps up to understand communication? What is your recommended book, Andy, that you gave you the most benefit?
The most benefit was Getting to I Do. And then the communication manual.
Okay.
And there's a, I might add here too, is the her first little book that is very understandable about communication called Conversational Rape. And you can still get that book.
It's available on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And along with Dr. Allen's other books. The Conversational Rape does go through how words, just one word can change the impact of a statement, which people don't understand. We teach potency, not passive and not intimidating. So,
to understand the baby steps, like as you asked, for Dr. Pat's work, what she did was springboard her work, Androgynous Semantic Realignment is her communication skill style, was springboarded off of transactional analysis developed by Eric Byrne. And she adds the masculine and feminine energies. Now, the masculine energies, she talks about in one of her wonderful, her most recent book, It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, of the talks about the masculine energy, which is the head, and the way you want things, and the feminine energy, which is a feeling-centeredness. So this is a great book, too, to understand the masculine and feminine energies and where we're coming from, whether we're coming from our wants and our head and our feeling-centeredness, what we need to feel comfortable.
Yeah, also... if you read Eric Byrne's Games People Play, it's a great book about all the unconscious games that we play to survive. Now, they're mostly unconscious. So the idea is to know that be aware of it, and then once it's risen to a consciousness level, you can make decisions on it. Now, the people who knew Eric Byrne the best said that had he lived long enough, he would have found Dr. Pat's work, because Byrne says these are the games you play, but doesn't tell you what to do about it. And Dr. Pat's work tells you what to do about it.
That's right. She took it to the next level. She took Eric Byrne's work, and like I said, she springboarded off of his very deep work of analysis of different people's communication and lack of communication and dysfunctional communication. And although they were doing the work in his groups in San Francisco back in the 60s, in the late 60s, he died. And then anyway, Dr. Pat did this work and made the connection with masculine energies and feminine energies, as well as his work on communication and making sure that everybody has a right to be who they are. And then you decide who fits, who's going to be in your life. You don't have to have everybody in your life if you don't like them, but you give them an opportunity to be in your life, if as long as they know what your personal boundaries are.
Didn't Eric Burns' group require one thing? Say what you mean and mean what you say.
That's right.
And that was a very difficult concept for most people.
That's what his the initial five people in his group. I took a seminar with a woman who was in his original group, and she said that was the crux of the work right there, is to come. Everybody had to come there, and the bottom line was to say what you mean and mean what you say.
Yes, yes, very good information. Hopefully, I want to, great book information, people, Patricia and Andy. I want to throw out to the callers so we get some calls. 323-203-0815. We take relationship calls. We take family communication calls, work relationship calls. Please give us a call, and we'll do our best to help you. Do you, Andy or Patricia, have any topics you want to go over that you feel are valuable for the audience?
Go ahead, Patricia.
Oh, okay. Well, some good topics are right here in chapter 14 of It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe, the difference between courting and dating. What do you have to say on that, Andy?
That I'm not prepared for that one.
Oh, okay. Well, Sue, of course, do you have something you want to say about courting?
Well, what
and
was
dating?
It again? I just got what now? Okay.
The difference between courting and dating. So when a man is courting, he's putting his feminine gratification needs for sex second to his loving masculine needs for a relationship. Whereas when a man is dating, he's putting his human needs for sex ahead of his spiritual need for building a loving relationship. Go ahead, Sue.
You said it right there.
But you get that in your groups. I mean, you get these.
What I get mostly in my groups are women that take Dr. Ellen's material and try to fit it to what they want it to be.
And twist it up and twist it into a pretzel.
Well, said we can't lead. You said we can't lead, so they sit there like deers in the headlight, and I
like
don't ever say that.
Yeah, well, you have to understand things on a deeper level, and that's why I encourage people to keep coming back to the group. You know, the wonderful opportunity people have to coming to your group, Sue, is that they can practice on a weekly basis the communication tools in situations that they bring. That's the beauty of showing up.
We have a caller. Let's see. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Hi. Yes. Thank you so much. I called for a few weeks now. You guys have been so helpful. So
okay,
I really
go ahead.
All that you're doing. I went on a date yesterday, and I know that we're not supposed to offer or help the guy when it comes to the bill, but how, like yesterday I realized that I still need to work on this because I can't, it feels weird accepting such a fancy dinner, especially if I'm duty dating. So what's a good way?
That means you can't receive. I got in trouble for that from Dr. Pat.
Yeah.
If you can't receive, a man can't fall in love with you. Men have to give to fall in love, and you have to receive and give back. If you don't take his generosity, he can't fall in love with you. Is Patricia and Andy, do you have anything to add on that? I heard it the hard way when I couldn't.
That's
Pat
right.
Yelled at me. If you don't let him give to you, he can't fall in love.
Oh my. Okay.
Yes, you go ahead, Andy.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. There's very little in this world that we can do for you. But so we got to give you things because we can't do anything for you. And that's the way that we provide love. if you take that away from us, we have nothing to offer you. So we'll let you go so you can find somebody who can do what you want.
Okay. So this goes back to what I do too. I might recommend sometime signing up for a life script with me and get to why your self-esteem is in a place where you have a hard time receiving graciously. And
that is it. Yeah, that's a good point, Patricia.
You know, we have to work on this from a really on a deeper subconscious level of feeling worthy and knowing our self-worth and actually coming to the point where we feel worthy of receiving and being given to.
And also what with me is I always felt there was a ticket that if he paid for this, I was going to have to give back that when that was in my own head that he was going to. I owed him something.
That's why a lot of women think if someone buys them a dinner, they have to give them a blowjob.
Yeah.
Well, it's just not the way it is. If someone offers you a dinner, you receive. If you want to see them again, you may offer to take them somewhere. It doesn't have to be equal, but you could take them to a less expensive place if you want to give back. If you're want to give, you can give back once you've received. But first, be okay with receiving. But that's not so simple for someone if their self-esteem hasn't been nurtured from an early age.
Can I?
Go ahead.
When a man asks for concrete gifts of sex and money from a woman, and she gives it to him without regard for her own integrity, her own virtue, her own spirituality, she is competing in the world of men, not being a woman in charge of loving. Nurturing through giving, protecting, and cherishing is a masculine skill, not a feminine one. Receiving, being available to receive, and respecting the giver who protects and cherishes is a feminine skill, not a masculine one. So I ask you, caller, what skills do you want to work on?
The feminine one.
Well, call up and let's get a life script going so we can build your self-esteem up.
You can reach out to me at the office and I'll forward you Patricia's contact. It takes sometimes can take a couple hours. She'll give you all the details and cost and all that. But that goes through, like she said, somebody taught you in the past all these scripts that what you should and shouldn't do. And they carry out like a tape recorder and you carry them on every time you interact with work people, relationships, or just general friends. You reenact your script that was taught to you and you can change your script. So that's what Patricia will help you uncover is why you feel you have to. Why you feel you can't receive from a man. Because if you can't receive, a man cannot fall in love with you.
So what's the lady like? Wait, so if the bill comes, what's the...
Women receive and then give back. So if you don't receive his generosity and you want to pay for it, you're putting him in the feminine that he has to receive.
Oh,
Did he invite you? Did he invite you or did you invite him?
No, he invited me.
If he invited you, then if he invited you, you just watch him handle the bill.
Yes, because you're and it also goes into when you take the bill away from him, you're demasculating him on showing you're a better man than him by one-upping him.
Oh, yeah.
See, that's a thing that's about you, too. You're in your masculine trying to prove you're a better man than him by you picking up the bill.
Now, I might
control, dear.
I might add here, when people go to business lunches in the business world and the bill comes, you absolutely contribute. That's a different venue, a whole different, but you don't act like your masculine and feminine, because everyone is masculine in the business world.
Okay, so just watching him get the bill and pull out his card and then saying thank you is enough.
Yes.
And how wonderful it was. What a wonderful ambiance. You give him appreciation and be enthusiastic about the wonderful meal and the great ambiance or something. Be enthusiastic about what you received.
Okay. I like that. Okay, so I just give back appreciation. I don't have to.
You don't have to give him a blowjob.
And if you really like him, you start making some compliments on appreciating him. You know, thank you for this great dinner and you know, spending time with me. You're a wonderful, and stroke one part of him about, you know, you like his hairstyle, his suit, something that he knows you like him. So he'll ask you out on another date. You give back appreciation so that he knows that you're available for him to chase you.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't want to just be thanks for the dinner. They want
thanks for the dinner is like a relative. Hey,
yeah.
Like a
they
cousin.
Most of the women say, well, I thanked him for the dinner. It has to be something personal about him that you're attracted to. So he'll want to ask you out again.
It was so nice of you to take me to such a lovely place.
You're a great company. Okay. Mention something about you love his jokes or whatever, something that compliments or strokes him.
Okay. Yes, this is why it's good to duty date. So I'm glad that you guys introduced me to that.
Perfect. And then join one of my ladies groups so I can help guide you through and then go get a life script. This is all a lot of work. People don't understand. This is not get a quick fix thing. This takes 6 to 8 weeks to change a behavior. Once you're aware of it, then you have to process. Yeah.
I implore people to go to those groups on a regular basis because you get to practice in a safe setting.
Yeah. Most of the women are in the same thing. They're dating, they're masculine, they're afraid to receive. They don't know how to appreciate men or pull men in. They play hard to get. And I'm like, I never taught you that. Don't play hard to get with men. That's a game.
Okay. Yeah, I don't like that either. All right, we'll do. We'll follow up with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for calling.
You got this.
Keep it posted. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. That was a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andy. No, I was just going to say, what were you going to say?
In the beginning, you were talking about I'm okay, you're okay. Was there anything in particular that caught your attention?
A lot of my women, when they call me up for coaching, they start complaining about him and give a list of how Dr. Allen says blemished. When I try to talk to them about he's okay the way he is, you don't have to like or accept it. It's a hard pill for women to swallow. When they have to pull, you know, that guy apart instead of looking at what's going on in them, it's easier to discount somebody else and say they're the problem than look within.
Do you have a
what
document of what blemish, like Eric Burns, of what blemish means?
Well,
blemish, go ahead, yeah.
Blemished, as Dr. Allen prescribes it, in the whole big dynamic, I get the ladies that always want that guy, the guy with instant lust, and he's usually the unavailable, avoidant guy.
Your call has been forwarded to an...
And then they get a good guy that wants everything they want, long-term committed relationship, but they don't have chemistry. And they start picking him apart, as Dr. Allen says, I can't possibly go with him, he wears white socks. They have to find something to validate to push him away. Sometimes I find that's self-sabotaging because they always want that guy. And Dr. Allen says you have to desensitize from going out with the bad boys to the good guys that you would do better with long term. So that's a hard pill for women to swallow, is that they always want to go for that guy.
And she also says that if you're looking for the perfect person, get used to being single.
Yes. I have women that have been single for 45 years. Looking, and they want the guy that's 80% valuable, I said, in your dreams, because nobody's that perfect. So
But hopefully we find somebody who you have chemistry with and you have enough compatibility to have a nice companion.
Now,
have a love life and a companionship.
Chemistry seems to be the big one. People think they have to have that instant, I got to have him. And what Dr. Allen says is women fall in love with their ears. It takes us a while to get turned on. If it's instant, it generally is sometimes you're picking from what's familiar. That is not always the best thing. And sometimes when you go with familiar, that's what is your past baggage is. You go with people that are familiar, not that they're the best ones for you. So you have to go out of your familiar picker into a different picker. And that's hard for women because they want that instant lust, but sometimes that's the dopamine high of the chaotic drama that goes on, the ups and downs and this and that.
Well, I'll say that's hard for all of us.
It's hard for all of us, but it keeps us attached to a lot of people that end us going down a painful tunnel that's hard. And they always want to know how to fix him. How can I get him?
You know, ways I think that you learn to appreciate that is by sticking with the relationship and not leaving angry, because if you left angry, you're not done.
Yes. Yes.
So for those of you, and me included, you know, if you can recognize the situation that you're angry, maybe call that other person back and say, hey, I was wrong. Can we continue?
Yes.
And, you know, that's how we grow. It's how we learn. It's how we fill our missing pieces, because we're attracted to people with the missing piece of us.
That's true. Yes.
There's a lesson learned in every relationship. If you don't learn it, the next relationship will force you to learn it at some point in time.
That is true. I had one lady who couldn't get over a man for a year. She pushed him away and then they kind of teased each other. And she kept asking me if she should leave. I go, only you can decide when you're done. She finally got her signal. One year later, she saw him with another woman, and that eliminated it right there. She didn't want to chase him anymore. That's what she needed to see. So it was a painful. She said it wasn't painful. She asked God for a sign.
And she got a sign. That's
she got
a sign.
He kept wanting me to make the decision, but I've been with her for a year. I want him. I don't. I want him. I don't. I want him. I don't. Ruminating back and forth. I said, I can't make that decision. You're not done with him yet. If you don't take it to the end, you're going to a year later. Oh, I should have. Yeah. You've got to take everything to the end, as painful as it is. And the high buy letter is one letter I insist women to send when they're mad at a man. Instead of sitting and being mad, send him a letter so you can explain what happened and maybe you can clean it up a little bit and you both can move on. But some women are just so mad, they just want to leave mad.
And well, go ahead, Andy.
No.
I'm sorry. How do we define pain?
He hurt them, but they would not communicate because they told him months ago what they wanted and didn't want and expected him to mind read. And when he wasn't doing it, their lack of communication got them more resentful. And the poor man doesn't know what she wants. And then the breakdown till she finally just says, I'm done with you. And then I tell her, write the list. Well, I told him 3 months ago what I wanted and he won't do it.
It's interesting when it's in writing. Oh,
but we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us? Hello? Caller, can you hear us? I don't know if you're on mute. Oh, they left. Oh, maybe. Yeah.
When it's in writing,
yeah.
Sometimes if you're just crabbing at someone, the words just get lost in space.
They joined us again. Hold on. You're on the air. Can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't getting connected.
Okay. You have a question for us?
I was more looking for some feedback and guidance.
Okay.
I'm familiar with Dr. Pat. I've been in her group before. This is the situation. So I live between the East Coast and Los Angeles. And a year ago, I connected with a guy on Bumble who lives in Northern California. We connected and we never met. We spoke on the phone and we connected through text. And then he went on a solo trip to Japan, and he was talking to me the entire time he was away. Told me when we were talking that he wanted to come see me on the East Coast if I wasn't going to be back in Los Angeles soon. And he asked me if I would, if he wanted that, would I be up for that? And I said yes. And so when we got further into talking, my mistake was that I talked too much to him, in the sense that we got too connected and too bonded before meeting each other.
Uh-huh. Ooh, so that's dangerous.
Yeah, which I have a habit of doing. So what happened next? So then he was starting to come back to California, to San Francisco, he started to kind of, I think reality started to hit him of like the material, if we're going to materialize with some person. And he started to ask me, when are you coming back to California? And it was literally like a year ago, almost to the date. It was like October 20-ish last year, 26-ish last year, around that time. And I told him, well, the holidays are coming up. You know, I want to be with my family. They're on the East Coast. So, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm kind of like, I can be wherever. You know, I don't have to be anywhere. So I just said, you know, I'm kind of going to be here for right now. And he didn't like that I didn't have a concrete date to come back to LA. So basically the short long of it is that he said, you know, he didn't want to be in a long distance relationship because it was agonizing to him. I understood that. I accepted it. I respected it. But then he said that he wanted to still keep talking because he hoped that I would come back to California. And when I did, that we should reconnect. And my response was, if you don't want to see me now, meaning like within this time frame of like the next, you know, few weeks or month or whatever, and he had a trip to the East Coast for work, I just said I didn't feel like he was pursuing me, and I didn't want to continue on with that. And we went back and forth and all around in circles. And ultimately, at the very end, I just felt like he was playing games with me because he started to say things like, yeah, I'm crazy about you and I want you, but it doesn't mean I'm going to date you. And when I get back, like, I'm going to date other people and you should too. And so I just, we stopped talking. And I wasn't done with it yet. Like you were just speaking about, I love what you were just saying. It's good to hear. And so I reached out to him, like when he got to the East Coast to Boston, and I'm in New Jersey. And you know, I just asked him if he was available or we could schedule a time that was convenient for him to hear me, because I had some things I wanted to express. Because he told me, the last thing he had said to me was, messages are getting confused, mixed messages, we're both sleep deprived, we're emotional, let's take a few days and come back. And I didn't hear from him. So then I contacted him. That's what I'm referring to. So when I reached out to him, you know, he was polite in text and whatever, but he basically blew me off. He was kind of like, yeah, I don't know, I'm going to have time for that. Like, super busy with work.
Well, yeah, he knew he was going to get his head bit off when you said, either some things I want to basically dump on you.
I don't know. I think it was just, he thought it was going to be more of the same of us going in circles. So I just let it be. I let it go and I moved on with my life and I started dating other people and that was that. And, in February, like a few months later, because he had gotten me a gift from Japan, I just reached out to him like playfully, and I was like, asked him, you know, how are my chopsticks? And I saw he read the message and never responded. So again, I left it, I moved on, didn't think about him again. Then a year later, literally like a week ago, he pops in my mind. And then like 2 days later, I get a text from him and he's like, hey, I've been thinking about you. I hope you're well. And I had, you know, mixed feelings seeing the message because I felt like he had ghosted me and blew me off. And so I was just like, oh, that's interesting.
Did you respond back?
At first I just hearted the message and I waited, like acknowledging it, put a heart on it. And then I waited a few hours and then I just said, thank you. And, And then the next day he wrote me back and he said, so where are you these days? And I just, you know, I was brief and to the point. I just said California, the East Coast, international. And he was like, oh, you know, and he started telling me I'm working remote now and I got a different job.
Let me ask you something. Do you like this man? Did you want him? Because I'm hearing a lot of hard to get.
I did, but that's what I'm getting. So that's the point I'm getting to, because I obviously wanted to meet him. I wanted him to meet me. And
but dear, I heard that you were unavailable as well when he asked for certain things. You wanted to go to family. It wasn't convenient for him.
Right.
Yeah. You pushed him away when he wanted certain things because feminine
energy.
Yeah,
but isn't he supposed to pursue me and come to
me?
Yeah,
but I heard a roadblock.
Well, he was telling me he's financially free and, you know, he can do whatever. And he had told me previously that he would fly to see me. So I just said, okay, great. You know, I'd love that.
In the line, I heard that he wanted to meet, but it was holidays and you had all these family functions to do.
No. He was asking me, when are you coming? First, he said, I will come there. And I was like, okay, great. But then when he realized I didn't have a concrete date that I was returning to California in the state that he's in, what he said to me was, I'm so crazy about you that I don't even want to see you, because if I see you, then I'm going to get looped into a long distance relationship since you don't have a concrete date back. And I don't have faith that you're going to be here permanently again, even though California is my home. I'm just, like I said, I'm transient. I kind of am on the East Coast right now with family. Like post-pandemic, I've kind of been just wherever.
Have you two been together? Have you kissed and had any kind of sensuality together?
No, like I said, we hadn't met. That was the whole thing. I wanted to meet.
You had not met in person ever?
No, we had not met. We had not met in person.
Did you ever have a video call, like a FaceTime?
No. So
you know what? I insist on the women I work with to have video with them within three texts without texting back and forth more than three times. There must be a video call, because you cannot, there's no chemistry in words, typed out
and
words.
Yes.
Well,
you have to have a video call minimum.
I
agree with you.
It got all mashed up it was confusing.
This isn't reality. This is texting.
I agree.
This is a text affair. You've got to minimum do a video chat.
I agree with you. So this is my question, because yesterday I finally said to him, you know, I asked him, well, we spoke on Monday and then we spoke yesterday. And I asked him on Monday, you know, so I'm curious, why are you reaching out? And we kind of tried to.
You heard his voice. You spoke on the phone.
Yes, we were speaking on the phone. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I want to be friends with you. And I said, I don't really know if I'm available for that. And I knew he didn't want to be friends. I said, I don't really feel like you're friends. So when I got to the core of it, he basically admitted to me. He said, I reached out to you because I was in Boston last year when I was here. I was thinking about you nonstop, but you know, I just felt like it was going to be more of the same and I didn't want to do the long distance thing. And so, you know, and then I got so busy with work. He's like, I ended up dating no one. And he's like, but I had such a connection with you that I reached out to you again.
There's no connection with textings. You cannot develop a relationship with someone you have not been in their presence to know if there's chemistry. There's no chemistry over the phone.
This is what he's saying.
So, but dear, what you could have done from the very beginning and even now is say, you put a boundary that you have to have a video call if this is going to go forward, because he's just intimidating you and you guys are just barking back and forth.
Yes, I agree. So this is what I said to him yesterday. So I said, I said that I didn't want more of the same from last year. And so he admitted to me the real reason why he really didn't want to meet me is because he's in this lawsuit. He's a doctor and he's in this lawsuit with Stanford, and he's like pouring out like $15,000 a month, and he barely has, you know, after he pays all of his bills, he's like, I'm having like basically nothing. And he's like, this lawsuit is going to end in February. So he's like, I reached out to you. because I wanted to see where you were, like, physically in the world, and see if we could reestablish a friendship and see where it goes from there. And I understand that. And I was like, okay. And I was like, but I don't want to get bonded through talking. So I don't know if we can do that. So I said, when you get over your fear of the long distance or being unsure that you believe that I'm coming back to LA, because I was just in LA, but he's, again, doesn't like believe me. It's weird. I said, then you can reach out to me. And he said, yeah, but I don't want to do that because I want to talk to you more. I want to build trust back.
You're telling him how to date you.
Is that bad?
Yes.
Except other than personal boundaries.
Yeah,
that is my boundary. I said, I told him what I didn't want. I said I was available for, you know, if you wanted to meet. And I said, if you get over your fear of the long distance thing, and at the end of your
you don't get to have that.
You don't get to be his therapist either.
Right.
You can't dictate.
You just
what's
say
wrong
willing
with
to
you.
Meet you.
Yeah.
Tell me what I did wrong.
Andy, you have something to say there?
Yeah.
Did he actually tell you he was scared at any point in time?
Scared?
Yeah.
Yeah. He said he was scared that he was, and when he actually thought, because he's seen photos and videos, and obviously we've had tons of phone conversations, hours. He just said when he knew that when he saw me in person, it was just going to cement what he already feels. And he's like, and I don't want to be roped into a long distance.
And that's his, you can't take care of what he's going to do. You can only process your part. If he's going to fall in love with you at first sight, that's not your problem.
Right.
And he's admitted that he has financial problems. And is that a red flag for you?
It's finally honesty that I can work with, meaning that I'm like, okay, I can live with that in terms of, because before I just felt like he was playing games with me. Now I'm like, okay, you actually don't have the finances. That's why you don't. It's emotional and financial. Like, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to be longing for someone at a distance. Yes, I get that. I respect that. But the second part is he can't because he doesn't have the money. So he said when his lawsuit is over in February, he's going to have the ability to do that thing. I think he probably makes like $250,000 a year. And so he was trying to get in touch with me to try to reestablish a quote unquote friendship and, you know, continue talking to me and, you know, build trust back with me.
Were you dating anybody else? I mean, this went on for a year of pen pals.
No. It was just October last year, and then it ended. And then I reached out to him.
Yeah, but you've never met him in a year.
Correct. He reached out to me a year later.
I know. So it's okay that you get attached to somebody for a year without meeting them.
He's attached to me. He's the one that reached out to me.
You don't know if he's truly attached to you. These are just words.
I agree with you fully. That's why I'm being sober.
You can't be attached to somebody you've never met. I'll tell you that right now. Dr. Pat has said you have to be in their presence to know if there's true chemistry. Chemistry is exchanged through the olfactory nerve up to the vagus nerve, up to the Jacob's orb and organ, and that is when two people they don't decide, they
it's
sense
like the
chemistry.
It's pheromones. It's the pheromones.
Well, partially the pheromones are a little different, but it's chemistry between two people. It's not just random. Some people meet each other and they go, oh my God, I don't even have chemistry with this person.
Yeah,
but
he's, I know.
So this is, you've created he has duped you into this fantasy.
I know.
A fantasy relationship it's not real. I want to, put some cold water on you right now.
No, I agree with you. And that's why I was trying to put the boundary up to say, I don't want to continue to talk and bond. Why don't we just meet? And he was like, I don't want to do that. He's like, I want to still talk to you.
No, you're not going to, that's your boundary right there. No, we'll have one more video chat and then I'm willing to meet you. First, you have a video chat before you meet him. And then you say, whenever you're ready to meet, let me know. And that's the final. There's no more texting after that.
Yeah, you go. Yeah. You guys both give in. Andy, did you have something to say? I know you had some book to read. Yeah.
I want to foot stomp what Patricia's saying. Make it yours and yours alone. Do not, under any circumstances, speak for him. You don't know what he's thinking, nor will you ever know. So just set your limit.
You're saying that about what part?
What Patricia just said, I'll do a video call and I'll meet you. When you're willing to do both things, let me know. Until then, have a good life.
Okay.
And move on.
Okay.
We're not playing games anymore. This is a game.
Right. What, in your experiences, all of you, what does that, how does that read to you from a man saying something like that to me?
It
like,
does, wants dear, to- I would have to flag you for participating.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying not. About him. But dear, you kept engaging with him. You didn't have healthy boundaries from the beginning.
Yeah, games are always with at least two people, maybe three people. And without the second and third person, there's no game.
So he can do whatever he wants. The fact that you participated is you engaged in his game and you continued it. So whatever he did, but you were a factor that was in the game as well. You kept participating and playing with him.
Do you think it's absurd that he wants like absolute certainty that I'm going to be back in
there,
Los Angeles?
It doesn't matter what he said. He could have said, I want to marry you today. You kept engaging in his game of not knowing.
He has a right. He has a right to want what he wants. Yeah. And you have a right to what you're willing to and not willing to do. And you're willing to have a video chat and meet him, period.
Yeah, I'm going to direct you to the answers book. Subject, you're verbally gaming people or getting gamed. And it says there's a, Steve Cartman created a trauma triangle that quickly identifies communication games between people play. The theory goes like this. Instead of communicating effectively, people take on one of three roles, the victim, the persecutor, or the rescuer, in order to get their needs met. You are those. So in order to be healthy, you got to stop playing games. But if you want to be in pain, you're welcome to do that. We only have a few minutes left, so I want to read one thing to help people get through this world a little bit better.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me get to my the very beginning.
I have a quick question unrelated, may I ask?
Okay, go ahead.
Do you think it's a red flag when a man says, I have an unhealthy relationship to work, like they're so consumed by their work that...
Dear, we can't answer that because you haven't met him.
But I mean, just any man in general.
No, it's not a red flag. You watch their behavior to see if it matches.
Okay.
That's the part of getting to know a person a year. What comes out of their mouth might be garbage. You got to watch him.
Right. Right. I agree.
Don't trust anything that comes out of their mouth. You have to be a participant and watch him. See if you like that character.
And it is watching him, not just talking to him on the phone. Physical presence matters.
Right.
And then you can look up the compatibility portion in Man's World and Woman's Universe to get through that a little bit. So
if a man is acting both masculine and feminine, like flopping between the two, is there a script you can say or something
you're jumping back and forth, masculine and feminine, telling us the story.
And it's not your place to be analyzing him as if you're an analyst. No. Your position is to say how you feel, and right now you haven't felt good because you haven't even met this person.
Yeah. And you don't have boundaries.
Okay, Andy, what
I get confused when a man starts telling you what he's feeling and wanting, and it's like competing with my feelings, and I'm like, I don't know what to do with this.
You say thank you for sharing.
That's it.
But if Yeah. If he's
you want to analyze why he's doing it to figure him out. That's control. If I can control and understand him, I can. Yeah. Don't you do your part of the relationship and hope to God he does his. You're trying to. Your whole model is you're jumping and wanting us to analyze him.
I'm trying to navigate it because it gets confusing when I'm in the middle of the conversation. I'm sharing how I feel, and then he's like, "Yeah, but I feel this way."
Get off of these conversations with this person. This is the end of conversations.
Okay.
I hear too much analyzing.
If you're
Andy,
fucking feelings. He's not a man. He's a boy. Or he's left-handed. He's another girl. Got the same brain as you.
Yeah. Probably a boy. Not a man's body.
Well, you don't know that. You haven't seen
him. We don't know. We don't. You haven't even met him yet.
This conversation is a moot point. Oh, a new person. Yeah. Oh, a new person. Okay.
Okay.
We're running out of time. Do you want to call us back next week to share the next
guy? Let's talk about a real life person in person.
Call us back next week. Right. We end at 10 minutes too, so it's not a full hour. Sorry.
Thank you so much for the feedback. It's very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you, caller. Good questions here, people. Yeah, we're running out of time. We want to wish everybody a happy Halloween. And hopefully we'll hear from this caller again next week. Do you want to share anything, Kelly?
Yes, I will. The only way you know you love or care about yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Andy, do you have anything to follow on that quote?
I'm going to read this paragraph. Your feelings aren't authentic and I appreciate them. But unless they render you absolutely helpless, I want you to walk through them. Don't avoid them. Don't get drunk, use drugs, or act out. Plow through the feelings. Practice stoicism. He or she who pushes the arrow through gets to move on. I wish you all very well.
Thank you. See you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.